Dot. Hope everything is cool with you, and I hope everything is cool with yours. Before we get to the regular show, you know how it goes around here. Let's talk about something. People like to play with the devil and think they're not going to get burnt. Well, that's metaphorically, that's psychologically, that's physically, and that's emotionally. Now, some of the ways I'm talking about is not just straight up and down, you know, occult, idol worship, devil worshiping, that type of thing. But playing with the devil is also being a drunk, being a drug addict, doing evil, wicked shit, being a sex crime type person. You are committing sex crimes every time you cheat on your spouse, your lover, your live-in, what girlfriend, whatever. Because you're now exposing that person to whatever disease you may come in contact with. Not only are you exposing them to physical ailment, you're exposing them to psychological ailments. A person who might trust you, love you, care for you, and you're causing them damage. Lying is playing with the devil. Lying leads to more lying, which leads to more lying, and then trying to live out the lie. Stealing. It's not your possession. It does not belong to you. You're not supposed to covet other people's things. Go out and earn your own. Don't take from nobody. And that includes robbing. You are playing with the devil if you decide in your life that you hate doctors and you refuse to go to doctors. A simple urinalysis or blood test might tell a doctor, a specialist, something that is going on with you that right now they can just nip in the bud, but 3 years from now can kill you. Not going to the dentist is playing with the devil. You might lose all your choppers. You may lose that beautiful smile because you hate dentists. Not eating healthy will cause a whole bunch of problems down the road. That's playing with the devil. Not getting any kind of exercise, just being sedentary, being lazy, being shiftless is going to cause you physical ailments down the road. This day and age, playing with the devil is clout chasing, being a fraud, doing shit for likes, doing shit for shares, doing things just that people would acknowledge you instead of just going about your life. We don't care what you ate. We don't care about your new sneakers. We don't care about a lot of things that are mundane that people put out there who not only make themselves targets because there are a lot of people who are envious, jealous, they don't have, they hate you to begin with. You're giving them a free pass into your world that people should have to earn the right to be in your world. And you're just allowing people to have an open door policy to your life. Where you go, when you come, when you're not home, when you're on vacation. You're leaving your home vulnerable to other people. You're playing with the devil. Now, we have to definitely deal with the most hardcore styles. People think it's cute to idol worship. People think it's cute to be involved with the occult. People think it's cute to mock God. None of that kind of stuff is funny. You pay a price down the road. Sure, the means and opportunities are many, many. And the devil is going to make sure that he gives you many means and opportunities to play with him. He's going to invite you to games. He's going to invite you to mock God. But what do you do? What do you do? Some of these things that I mentioned are so easy to avoid in your life. So easy to take out of your equation so that you don't have issues that come along with these things. This is a cause and effect type situation. I'm not saying that if you do all these things that you're guaranteed a long life, that you're guaranteed great health, beautiful smile, a spouse that won't betray you. No. All I'm saying is that if you want to be able to go to bed at night, truly go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and say that you are the best that you could be, some of these things you maybe should look at. Maybe some of these things you might need to rewind and see what I said and go back and say, do I apply this to my daily? Do I apply this to how I live? Am I a liar, cheater, a thief, a scam artist? See, because if you don't cheat and you don't lie and you don't scam and you don't ask for things you don't deserve, you won't be scammed. You'll have discernment when a con is coming because you will understand the con. You can take reality from fantasy and you'll be just fine. I wish you the best luck. And don't play with somebody who will burn your ass in the end, because he don't play to lose. This is a beast, people. This is the beast. The beast don't bullshit about. And don't think he's not powerful. He is super powerful, and he will give you the means and opportunities to hang yourself, to make your own noose. He will give you the rope to make your own noose. He will help you build the stool to stand on, and then he will help kick you off the stand. So trust me when I tell you, be careful out there. Guard yourself, guard your soul, guard your integrity. And we're going to move on to the regular portion of the show right now. So we have Israel. There was some talk of Yemen getting involved, but thankfully, as of the time that I speak to you right now, Yemen has not been involved in this situation. We as a world are still waiting for Israel to cease fire to allow humanitarian aid to get in. I cannot stress this point enough. If somebody tries to pull my card on this for the 19,000th time, I have never said once not to go after those who attacked you, Hamas. But Khadijah and her children have done you no wrong. A ceasefire to allow humanitarian aid is necessary. The world is sitting back and the world is watching, and this is ugly, very ugly, and it's a blight, and it's becoming a blight on America. Joseph Biden didn't do the right things or say the right things, and now some of this stuff is coming back to bite him in the ass. I'm sure that he feels sorry about what he said. Well, me, I cannot sit here and say I am sure, because I'm not in his brain, I'm not in his soul, I'm not in his heart. So how fucking dare me be that arrogant? So I apologize to you, and I apologize to myself, and I apologize to this man who I've never met for saying something so stupid. But listen, I'm always hoping for the best in this situation. Just because it's a dark day today doesn't mean it's going to be a dark day tomorrow. The sun can shine again brightly. It always does. Since we've been on the planet, there have not been too many days that the sun did not rise. So I have hope that the sun will rise again tomorrow, and that some brighter minds than my own will come together and finally convince Netanyahu that this has to come to an end. And at least these women, children, and old people, and even the young men who have nothing to do with the attacks that happen against Israel, can be protected, because Israel would want the same for themselves. See, that's the thing. Why are they not thinking of themselves also in this situation? To make a lifelong enemy makes zero sense. A generational enemy. Who's going to want to attack your kids? Who's going to want to kill your grandchildren? Because these are seeds that are being planted of hate. And hate, that tree always seems to grow with mankind. That's a tree that never seems to be able to get dipped at the root and stem. We can cut the leaves off of it, but we have never been able to pull the whole root from the ground. So this Sam Bankman-Fried was found guilty of defrauding FTX customers, investors, and leaders. This is a cryptocurrency dude. I don't know all the particulars because I found it quite boring. I never got involved with crypto cash or cryptocurrency. I like the old-fashioned way. I like banks, ATMs, and cash money. But this is a serious deal. This dude may be facing like 100-something years in jail. But you know what? Sometimes enough is never enough for some people. They get in the scam. They work the scam. The scam becomes super profitable. And they keep saying, you know what? I can keep adding. I can keep adding. I can keep getting more people involved. But you know what? When you take people's money, you are harming their lives. You're stealing their ability to take care of themselves, to maintain their properties, things that they worked hard for, things that they went to school for. And you know what? It's a shame. So shame on him. And you know what? He's been found guilty by a group of his peers, quote unquote. And now he has to suffer the consequences for his action. He played with the devil, and now the devil is burning his ass. So the Trump Organization had the kids testify last week. Now, these are grown-ass men, but they're Trump's kids, so you get what I'm getting at. It was Eric Jr. and Donald. No, Eric and Donald Jr. What's the matter with me? For Eric and Donald to sit there and say that they barely even know what the Trump Organization is beyond laughable. These people are something else. Then you had Ivanka claim that she can't get child care for her testimony, which isn't due to Wednesday. And she said this on Thursday. This is a multimillionaire who can't find a babysitter. Insanity. I'm glad the judge said, you know, Ivanka, fuck you. I'll see you Wednesday. So we'll keep up with this as it goes, but it doesn't look good for Trump and Trump's organization. I expect them to be found guilty. I expect him to have to pay a hell of a fine and maybe even lose his organization, because we can see clear as day that there's improprieties here, and it's just up to a jury to say, you know what, we find you guilty, to have the balls to do it, but we shall see. Tupac's murder case is moving forward. Dwayne Keefe D. Davis had to plead not guilty. You know, you get arraigned, you must go into court, and you take a guilty plea or you plead not guilty. So I guess he's willing to go to trial. I don't really think this thing is going to go anywhere. It's been too many years, too many people that are involved are dead or in jail. Those who are in jail know that there's rules and regulations that they must abide by, and pleading a case in open court doesn't look good for anybody serving time in prison. So Bobby Knight, the Indiana, Texas Tech, and ex-Army coach, died at the age of 83. This dude had a hell of a career. He was a big piece of shit as far as I'm concerned. I didn't like the way that he treated his players. I didn't really like the way he treated the members of the media. But the dude was a winner. He won 903 games, and he lost 371 games. He won 3 NCAA championships. He went to 5 Final Fours. He won the 1979 NIT tournament. He was the 1984 coach of the gold medal U.S. Olympic team. He went in the Hall of Fame in 1991 and the College Hall of Fame in 2006. Like I said, Bobby Knight lived to be 83 years old. Not a big fan of his. I'm just passing this information along. We had the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this weekend from my beloved Brooklyn. It was at the Barclays Center. And your 2003 inductees are Kate Bush, Sheryl Crow, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, George Michaels, Willie Nelson, Rage Against the Machine, The Spinners. They put in DJ Kool Herc, who, you know what? DJ Kool Herc is a movie. This dude went from spinning records in the Boogie Down Bronx, probably plugging in, I wasn't there that day, but plugging in a turntable into a light pulse. New Yorkers know exactly what that's all about. And from there, he went into immortality in the Hall of Fame, where at least man will acknowledge him for the rest of our existence. Also in the Hall of Fame is a group called Link Ray. Chaka Khan, Alec Cooper, Bernie Taupin, Don Cornelius, who I believe should have been in the Hall of Fame years ago because his influence on Black culture, Black music, and giving Black kids an alternative to American Bandstand since the 1970s was humongous. There has never been anything since, never probably will be anything like that again. And so, you know what? Congratulations to all these people. Some of these people, I really enjoyed their music. I enjoy Rage. I must say I'm a big fan. Kate Bush, I'm a fan. Missy Elliott, without stating, is a fan. Cheryl Cole was all right to me. The Spinners were great in my childhood. I'm not a big fan of Willie Nelson, but Willie Nelson is like one of those old crazy uncles for America. Who doesn't at least appreciate him? Chaka Khan and Rufus was fantastic. Bernie Taupin helped write all those songs with Elton John, which is a hell of a library of music. So like I said, once again, congratulations to them. Now I want to break right here and talk about something. It's called Bad Neighbors. I ain't talking about a movie. I'm not talking about some book. I'm not talking about some after-school special. Don't be a bad neighbor. We had a situation in Brooklyn where a man murdered two of what he called, quote unquote, his bad neighbors, and it cost him his life also. So two families have been devastated, and this thing made the national air. I mean, the murders were actually online. It was on social media. It was on Daily Mail. It was on, you name it, it was there. I mean, you could literally see the kill shots, and I wish I didn't have to see that. But don't be a bad neighbor. Can you keep what you do inside your apartment? Can you keep what you do inside the walls that you pay to live? Why do people who live outside your walls have to be brought inside your world? Do you think that they deserve that? Do they deserve to hear every conversation that you ever have? Do they deserve to hear your kids play, run, and act a fool? Is that their responsibility? Is that something that they earned in this lifetime, when you can just live and let live in peace? Do not be a bad neighbor. You do not have to be a good neighbor, but you damn sure don't have to be a bad neighbor. You can just be invisible to your neighbors if that's what you choose to do. I've lived around and I've lived with people my entire life. Do you know I've never known a neighbor by name? Because I'm not the dude to knock and ask for sugar. I'm not the dude that wants to just talk to you because you're a female. I'm single at the time and you're single. It's not my place, so I don't do things like that. I try to keep myself to a respectable tone. I try to keep myself to the ability to just wave if that's what we do. And we go by our business. And I leave you alone. And I like to be left alone. It's so bad with neighbors that there's actually a TV show. And it's one of my favorite TV shows. It's called Fear Thy Neighbor. Because neighbors snap on each other all the time. But like I said, just don't be a bad neighbor, okay? So Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram, is going to launch some kind of subscriptions for ad-free in Europe for Facebook and Instagram. Now, it's going to be a pay-per type deal. You got to pay for this. Now, I've noticed that in the last couple of days, I keep getting this notice from Meta telling me I'm going to be locked out of my Facebook within the next 3 days if I don't do some kind of security thing. Now, this security thing, I believe, requests my mobile telephone number. Now, if I lose the ability to go into my website, my Facebook, my Instagram, because I refuse to give them my cell number, with what the security breaches that they've had over the years, then you will never be able to see Strange Talk with Doc on Facebook. You will not be able to see Strange Talk with Doc on Instagram because I refuse to do this. If I have to lose these forms of social media because of that, you will understand why it's never updated. And I won't talk about this again until I see past the day because they said they're giving me 3 days. So by next Monday's show, I will know what the deal is. And if I'm kicked out, then I'll discuss it briefly again. I watched a little TV this weekend. Fount is a hell of a show, people. If you've not watched Fount, F-O-U-N-D, it's on NBC TV. Gabby and her crew find people who've been lost, kidnapped, and things of that nature. You know, Gabby had a meltdown. That was awesome. Her and Sir had a change in their relationship. So I watched two episodes. It's very good. The Irrational, very good show. I watched The Dark Side of Comedy. And I watched two episodes. One was Sam Kinison. That was enlightening. And the other one was Joan Rivers. I learned a lot about Joan Rivers that I did not know. And for fans of tattoos, which I am a big fan of tattoos, being a person who has two complete sleeves, legs done, chest done, back done, neck done, there was three episodes of Ink Master that dropped this week. I didn't even know Ink Master was returning. So it was kind of cool to have not one, but three episodes all drop on the same day. So that show is back. Now, the Colorado football team, the Colorado Buffaloes, had valuables and jewelry and thousands of dollars stolen from their locker room when they played UCLA. I wish Dion would cut the circus down a little bit around these kids. I consider them kids because of my age versus their age. And that's the way I'm going to look at 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Those are young men. They're not fully formed yet. And you know what? The circus has got to stop. Security's got to be tighter. Don't treat them like if they're a traveling rock show. I don't think that some of them probably should be putting themselves out there by walking around. There's a lot of thirsty wolves in the world who are looking for people who might just be out on a date and they win tens of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry. Why? Why do you have to draw that kind of attention to you? But if you feel comfortable doing it, I can't knock it. It's your body. It's your life, right? But they got to come up with a better plan to protect these kids. I mean, they got to protect their phones. I mean, you talk about the jewelry and the money. What about their cell phones and the private information that might be in those cell phones? They haven't even brought that up, but that's just a thought that came through my mind. The Texas Rangers won the World Series. They beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 4-1. I'm going to admit straight up, I did not watch one out of the World Series. And this was the Texas Rangers' first title after 63 years. The Texas Rangers actually went 11-0 on the road, which is insane. They never lost a road game this entire playoffs. And this Corey Seager was the MVP for Texas. He's the first player to win the MVP in the National League as a player with the Dodgers and now in the American League as a player with the Rangers. So congratulations to them. The WWE had Crown Jewel this week. It was a pretty decent pay-per-view type card. Seth Rollins beat Drew McIntyre to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. I would say that this was the match of the night. It was very entertaining. These are two veterans. They know what they're doing. They know how to do it and when to do it. So this is wrestling at an A level. Rhea Ripley retained her title by defeating Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Starks, and Raquel Rodriguez. This was a good match. Believe it or not, this was a very good match. I thought last week I actually stated five women at one time could be a shit show. They pulled this off. Now, Rhea Ripley's entrance was like the highlight of this. Rhea Ripley being honored by men in Muslim garb was crazy to me. I was like, what is going on in Saudi Arabia that they would allow this type of thing? Now, let's not forget the women are covered from neck to ankle, not like almost other than their hands and their necks and their face. Everything else is covered. So I thought that was kind of crazy. But you know what? I like the Judgment Day. I like Rhea. And I thought it was very good. Io Sky actually kept her title against Bianca Belair. They had a young lady, Kairi Sane, who had been released by the WWE. She came back and jumped on Bianca to help Io get the victory. We had the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns, as we all knew beforehand, was going to retain against LA Knight. But LA Knight looked very good. He did nothing to hurt himself. He showed that he deserves to be in the position that he's in. I'm very proud of him. I'm very happy for anybody who puts in the kind of work that he did underground to get to the point where he is today. He should be very pleased and happy with himself. That belt is not going to make or break him as a human being if he doesn't allow it to. Logan Paul defeated Rey Mysterio to win the United States Championship. I think this was a smart power move by the WWE. Logan Paul's not going to be there day in. He's not going to be there day out. So you let him run around with this title and do his podcast. You let him run around with his title and do his shows. You let all those people that he influenced, which I believe he has millions of people who tune into him, you let him have that belt sit behind him for a while, and it brings even more eyes to the WWE product, which will help them destroy AEW down the road. And you know what? A month from now, 2 months from now, at SummerSlam or whatever, you have him lose this belt to the person you pick. You build a little storyline up. Maybe every 2 weeks, Logan Paul appears, but you don't overtax him. You don't overtax him with the people. The people don't get to see him too much, so they starve for him when they do see him. They're in a good situation. WWE is in one of the better situations that I've ever seen them in the history of wrestling, and I've been watching wrestling for 40 plus years. Solo Sikoa defeated John Cena by pinfall. I was shocked that John Cena, one, had the respect for Solo to take a loss the way he did and how it happened, because Sikoa actually destroyed him. He hit him with like 552 Samoan spikes, left him laid out. We know it's sports entertainment, people. Let's not twist my words here. I understand I'm being entertained, okay? I'm no idiot. Usually, veterans, legends don't like stuff like this because they want to think about 4 years down the line, what can I do and how this hurts me. But you know what? My hat goes off to John Cena by taking a defeat like this. Cody Rhodes' stories continue to be told. He defeated Damian Priest by pinfall. No major shock. I figured this was going to happen. You knew this was going to happen because Cody has got to be set up for WrestleMania to go up against Roman Reigns or whoever might be holding Seth Rollins' title at that time. Sami Zayn beat J.D. McDonagh via pinfall in the set-off match. And I forgot that Sami Zayn had actually got involved with Damian Priest and stole his briefcase so that he could not cash it in at any point in time later that evening. I thought that was a different little twist. Nothing that special, but a different little twist. The UFC had fight night. It was Gelton Almeida versus Derek Lewis from Brazil. This was a pretty decent card. There was some devastating knockouts. There was a couple of submissions. Gelton and Derek Lewis was not as good a match as I thought it would be. Angela Hill looked pretty decent on this card. All in all, it was an all right card. But there's a big card coming up next week, a pay-per-view card from Madison Square Garden in New York City. It was originally supposed to be John Jones on this card versus Stipe Miocic, but John Jones is injured, as you know, so that's been changed. Now you have Alec Pereira going up against Jari Petrovic for the vacant lightweight title. You got Tom Aspinall going up against Sergey Pavlovich for the interim heavyweight title. You got Pat Sabatini going up against Diego Lopez. You got Mackenzie Dern going up against Jessica Andrade, who desperately needs a win, or if not, she's starting to look at the door. You got Benoit Saint-Denis versus Matt Frivolone. Steve Eck is going up against Matt Schnell. Lupi Gundinas is going up against Tabitha Ricci. Jamal Emmons is going up against Dennis Burkhanashian. Jared Gordon is going up against Mark Madsen. Joshua Van is taking on Kevin Barajas. So this should be a fairly good card. I'm expecting to New York City to be live and on fire because they don't get a lot of major cards from the UFC in New York City, which is kind of weird, but it's true. So, like I said, it's a pay-per-view card. If you're interested, check it out. We'll recap it next week. I'll go into more depth than I did the Lewis and Almeida card because I'm more interested in this card to begin with. Now, the NBA's first ever in-season tournament kicked off on the 3rd. I don't even know how this thing fully works. I don't know what it matters. It's kind of bizarre. Have an in-season. You're going to have a champion and then a real champion at the end. It's bizarre, but they do what they want. And let's not forget this week, James Harden was actually traded from the 76ers to the Los Angeles Clippers. I have not seen James dress yet. I don't know if he's in shape. I don't know if it's going to be another week. But hopefully he's in shape, he's healthy, and he's ready to add to the Clippers. I want the Clippers to be the dominant team in L.A., me not being a Lakers fan. I want to see how this turns out. I want to see how him, Russell, Paul, and Kawhi blend together. The L.A. boys, basically. It's all four of them from Los Angeles or California to begin with. So now these are probably dudes who passed each other at some point in time at high school or tournaments around the city. And so they would know each other from a long time. Now, I like to give you some games in the NBA that I think are the games of the week that maybe you should take a peek at if you're a basketball fan. And tonight you got my San Antonio Spurs who blew a 20-point lead yesterday. I'm very disappointed. They take it on the Pacers. You got the Lakers taking on the Heat, big game. You got the Clippers taking on the Knicks. You got the Pelicans taking on the champion Nuggets. Tuesday, there's no game scheduled at all. Wednesday, you got the Celtics taking on the 76ers. My San Antonio Spurs and Wembanyama, first time in Madison Square Garden, they take on the Knicks. The Golden State Warriors are taking on the Nuggets. Thursday, you got the Nets taking on Boston. Utah taking on Memphis, who finally got their first victory of the season. And they're going to struggle without Ja Morant, but they finally got a W. Friday, you got Minnesota taking on my Spurs. Like I said, Victor Wembanyama is going to be must-see TV until he at least goes around the league one time versus every opponent. So expect me to see San Antonio a lot, even though you know I'm a Spurs fan, and I'm not trying to be a homer, but he is the biggest thing going, literally and figuratively, in basketball right now. Saturday, you got the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Warriors. Sunday, you got the Mavericks taking on the Pelicans. And so far, so good. Zion has been healthy. So you got Zion taking on Kyrie and Luka. That's a big game if you're not watching football. And then also Sunday, you got the Heat taking on my Spurs in San Antonio. Now, the NFL. Kirk Cousins has been lost for the season after he tore his Achilles. Leonard Fournette was signed to the Bills practice squad, and the Seahawks acquired defensive lineman from the New York Giants, Leonard Williams, and they got a 2024 second round pick and a 2025 fifth round pick. Now, the Commanders did a lot last week. They got rid of Chase Young, and they got rid of Montez Sweat. Sweat went to the Bears. Chase Young went to the 49ers. The Vikings also picked up the Cardinals quarterback Josh Dobbs. The Raiders fired Josh McDaniels and their general manager, David Ziegler. They made Antonio Pierce the interim coach for the year. The Raiders were actually 3-5 at the time. The Browns traded wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones to the Lions. And the Packers traded Rasul Douglas to the Bills. And the Bills actually need this guy desperately. So let's go recap the games. And we're not going to go in so in-depth, but I'm going to give you what I think is like the reasons why what happened for these games. Kenny Pickett threw a 3-yard touchdown pass to Donovan Johnson with 4 minutes left to go in the game. And the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Titans 20-16. Patrick Mahomes threw 2 touchdown passes, and the Dolphins just cannot beat a good team. This was your game from Frankfurt, Germany. And the final score of that game was KC 21, Dolphins 14. Deshaun Watson threw 2 touchdown passes, and he returned from shoulder injury. And Amari Cooper caught 5 catches for 139 yards and 1 touchdown. And Cleveland destroyed Arizona, kept them blankless, 27-0. Taysom Hill had a receiving touchdown and a passing touchdown. And the Saints beat the Bears 24-17. Joshua Dobbs. Hold on. The Packers snapped a 4-game losing streak. The Rams had no Matthew Stafford, who might be out for a while, and they lost to Green Bay 20-3. Joshua Dobbs, who I've already mentioned, who's only been with the Vikings for 5 days, had a hell of a game for the Vikings. He rallied them to victory, and they won 31-28 over Atlanta Falcons team. That was a very good game. That was a lot more points than I thought. I mean, this kid ran for a touchdown. He passed for a touchdown. You know what? I tip my hat to Joshua Dobbs. Keaton Mitchell rushed 9 times for 138 yards, 1 touchdown. Odell Beckham caught a touchdown on his birthday, the first time that he caught a touchdown in 630 days. And the Ravens are now 7-2, and they demolished the Seahawks 37-3. C.J. Stroud, who has been phenomenal. And you cannot ask this kid to do this on a regular basis, or he will be the greatest quarterback who has ever lived. He had 5 touchdowns and passed for a rookie record 470 yards with 0 interceptions. I mean, this is insane that he is so good, so young. And his Houston Texans beat Tampa Bay 39-37. Sam Howell passed for 300 yards in consecutive games for the first time in his career. And the Commanders had their first victory in New England since 1996. It also snapped over all 4-game losing streak to the Patriots. You know what? This was a good showing for Sam Howell, because it looked at one time like they were talking to Jacoby Brissett on the sideline, like they were going to put him in the game and bench Howell, but Howell then, right then and there, threw a touchdown pass. It was kind of freaky. And Washington held on to beat New England 20-17. Kenny Moore had 2 pick-6 interceptions, and the Colts snapped a 3-game losing streak, and they beat the Panthers 27-13. Bryce Young has got to stop throwing interceptions. He had 3 interceptions. 2 of them, like I said, were for pick-6 by this Kenny Moore, and that was ridiculous. My Cowboys played Philly. They lost the game. It was an outstanding game. They lost the game 28-23. Dak had his numbers. CeeDee Lamb had his numbers. they compromised quite a few Philly players. Hurts was compromised. Goddard was compromised. And I think that they dinged up even Devonta Smith a little bit. But Philly hung on. They are now 8-1 in complete control of that division. The Cowboys fell to 5-3. So there's a complete two-and-a-half-game advantage over the Cowboys. And it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking. Dak had a chance to get a two-point conversion, but his foot went out of bounds. They had another chance to get a touchdown, but by 1 inch, his elbow wasn't in the end zone. It was like, what could go wrong? Did go wrong in particular, even though the Cowboys looked good and they looked strong in Philadelphia. I'm proud of them, but it doesn't take the sting away any less. The Giants embarrassed themselves in Vegas. They lost 30-6. Antonio Pierce, in his debut as the interim head coach, won this game. The Giants was never in this game. Daniel Jones got re-injured in this game. They just didn't look good at all. They were lucky to get the 6 points. Joe Burrow passed for 348 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Buffalo Bills 24-18. The Bills are not who we think they are. I think that things are going to just get worse for them. I think they're going to implode. I'm waiting for Diggs to implode on Josh Allen. I think that Von Miller has robbed him. He's given them nothing. I mean, for the Buffalo Bills to be struggling at this point in the season to say, you know, if we don't win the division, we don't go to the playoffs, it makes no sense. And quite naturally, there were a couple of teams I didn't talk about. It's because they were on bye week. That was the Lions, the 49ers, the Jaguars, and the Broncos. Now, let's talk about next week, and I'm going to get you out of here, people. Thursday night's game, you got the Panthers playing the Bears. I actually like the Panthers in this game on the road, so I'm going to go with them. The Colts are playing the New England Patriots from Frankfurt, Germany, when you wake up in the morning on Sunday. I think New England is not that good. Matt Jones tries, but I don't think they're good enough. The Colts' running game is outstanding, and they at least have Minshew. So I'm going to go with the Colts to win this game. The Texans are going in to play Cincinnati. It's going to be Cincinnati beating the Colts, the Texans at home. CJ, I love you, kid, and I think you're awesome, and you're going to have a great career, but you're not going to beat Joe Burrow and those boys in Cincinnati. The Saints are going into Minnesota to play the Vikings. The Saints seem to gut games out with their defense. Maybe they can confuse Josh Dobbs. He just got into town. The Saints have to win this game, so I'm going to pick them to win this game. The Green Bay Packers are taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh at home should be good enough to beat Love and that Green Bay team, which is very confusing. I don't know what's going on with them. The Tennessee Titans probably going to have Will Levis as quarterback, and they're going to go into Tampa Bay and take on Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. I think that Tampa Bay holds serve at home. A very interesting game. San Francisco 49ers, who have been really not themselves lately. I don't even know if Debo will be back. They're going in to play Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a solid team. I'm taking Jacksonville the whole serve and actually bury San Francisco a little bit more by winning this game at home. The Browns, who have an outstanding defense, are going up against the Ravens, who have outstanding defense, but a hell of a run game. So we got Lamar Jackson on one side, Deshaun Watson on the other side. This is not going to be a high-scoring game, but this should be one of those 17, 14 games that is devastatingly good to watch. And I'm taking the Ravens to win at home. Atlanta is going into Arizona. Atlanta is just a better team to meet in Arizona. I'm taking Atlanta. The Lions are going into L.A. to play the Chargers. The Lions are coming off a bye week. They should be refreshed and rejuvenated. So I'm going to pick them to beat the Chargers. The Giants are going into Dallas to play the Cowboys. There's no way in the hell the Cowboys lose this game to the Giants. The Giants are inept. You don't even know who's the quarterback's going to be, because if it's this Tommy DeVito kid, they really got no chance. The Commanders are going into Seattle to play the Seahawks. The Seahawks bounce back. Geno Smith and the Seahawks bounce back, and they get a win against Washington. The Jets then go into Las Vegas to play the Raiders. You know what? I hate to say this, but the Jets might just be a better team than the Raiders, so I'm going to pick the Jets to win on the road. And that's actually your Sunday night football game, Jets-Raiders. Your Monday night football game is going to be the Broncos versus the Bills. The Bills need a bounce back bad. If not, this season is pretty much over, so I am picking them to win this game. And next week, your teams that are going to be on bye are the Chiefs, the LA Rams, the Miami Dolphins, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Once again, that's going to be the Chiefs, the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Eagles. Remember, if you can, don't play with the devil and don't think you're going to get burnt, people. And it doesn't just mean evil and wicked stuff. It's also some common sense items that you should be aware of as an adult that you should be handling on a weekly, monthly, yearly, at least basis. You know what? They're quite simple. They're real simple. People don't really think about them, but everybody wishes they did something. And most of the time, we wish we did something when it's way too late already to do anything about it. And that is an unfortunate thing. That's why that stupid-ass word regret is out there. If I only had done this, if I only would have been careful with that, do it. Just do it now. Get it over with. Just grow up. Get a set. Don't put excuses to bullshit. Some things should never have excuses. Not seeing a doctor, there's no excuse for that. Not being a drunk, there's no excuse for that. Staying constantly intoxicated, there is no excuse for that. You know what I mean? Well, I'm going to tell you, thank you for listening in. I appreciate you. I appreciate you each and every time that you do listen in. I love to hear your responses. I don't ever mind you sharing. I never mind you commenting. I never mind you liking or disliking. That's on you. I can't force that hand. I do the best that I can to make this as an enjoyable experience as possible. But sometimes things are going to be said that's going to be contrary to some things that you might like, because I'm not going to co-sign any kind of bullshit. I'm not about that. As usual, people, I'm going to tell you and yours, peace, peace, and peace.